This is Connected to Chicago with Bill Cameron.
What's going on in Chicago? What the hell is going on?
Covering the big ideas.
Is the mayor full of crap or is it real?
The tough choices.
Guacamole? No, I like guacamole.
The farce.
Let's get right down to nut cutting.
And corruption.
I've got this thing and it's golden.
Plus special reports and newsmaker interviews along with the esteemed panel of reporters. And now, Bill Cameron.
Mayor Daley's greatest hits this week because Tuesday, Mayor Richard M. Daley is 76 years old.
Scrutiny, what else do you want? You want to take my shorts? Yeah, break. How much scrutiny do I have? You go scrutinize yourself. I get scrutiny every day, don't worry, from each and every one of you. It doesn't bother me.
Richard M. Daley, Chicago's longest serving mayor. 22 years in the job, slightly longer than his legendary father, Richard J. Daley.
Many people call us a lot of names we don't pay any attention to because you know what one of the great presidents in Illinois said. He hasn't got the time to read everything that's said against him, because if he did, he wouldn't be able to do anything. So I think that applies to a fellow in public office. If he's trying to do what's right and he gets the best advice from the people that know and he makes a decision, then he should go ahead and not be concerned about the harping critic, some of which never constructed anything in their life and never will. There's a certain part of our society that's against everything. No matter what they suggest, if you suggest a sermon in the mound, they think it should be corrected.
Like his father, you didn't always understand what the son said, but you always understood what he meant.
There's alderman of prerogative, but when it comes to a statement that kids are not welcome to Grant Park, that's not an alderman of prerogatory.
Make that prerogative, as in the alderman who used his aldermanic prerogative to block Daley from moving the Children's Museum to Grant Park. And across the street from Grant Park, there's the Spertus Institute.
The Spertus Institute is a very important part of our city's educational and cultural fabric.
Sometimes he pronounced a word correctly, but wished he hadn't said it at all.
Well, they're already built out there, so he can push all he wants.
When news stories made it look like police applicants were leaving exam rooms to compare answers in the bathroom, Daley said this.
You can't go in your pants, guys. Give me a break.
Daley seemed to have a fixation with pants.
And next year is going to get worse than this year. And it's only been really, when you think about June, July, August, September, October, November, now December, once January comes, hold on to your pants.
But sometimes one of his programs needed a little tweaking.
I'm very proud of the program. That doesn't mean you can't fix it or twink it. Yes, but it's a good program.
So Daley could be flexible.
Well, we have a lot of alternatives. There's a lot of alternatives. One thing you do, you have a lot of alternatives. You look at a lot of alternatives.
What are they? There's
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P.
But what about that Meals on Wheels program?
We have wheels and meals.
But when it comes to restaurants, no mice allowed.
Well, you don't want a mouse in your sandwich, do you? Give me a break. You know, let's not. We're not closing them down. They're closing themselves down.
But what about guacamole?
Guacamole? No, I like guacamole. I mean, no, not guacamole is not dangerous. I mean, it's very good for you.
When Daley was Cook County State's Attorney back in the 80s, he tried to get an order to cease and desist, but it came out like this.
We have an agreement to cease and desist.
His father famously got it backwards during the convention riots of 68.
The policeman isn't there to create disorder. The policeman is there to preserve disorder.
Back then, his press secretary went into damage control mode and told reporters to write what he meant, not what he said. The son got it backwards on putting some skin in the game.
We're putting money in the skin with our economic stimulus package.
And speaking of money,
what really makes narcotics so lucrative is the money.
And what about that drug, ecstasy?
Ecstasy. They believe this type of drug is more dangerous than any other drug.
When it came to the culture, Daley was mighty proud of his One Book, One Chicago program.
We are really fortunate to have a distinguished group of writers here in our city. The history of our city, as we all know, from Gwendolyn Brooks and Sal Bellow and Uptown Sinclair.
Daley wasn't always good at introducing famous people like John Cougar Mellencamp.
At this time, I'd like to introduce John Mellencamp.
His father wasn't much better talking about the famous.
Copernicus, after the great Polish astrologist that did so much to bring about help and assistance to the entire mankind and to the world.
Daley, the son, was not great at spelling.
That is state money. Underline that. S-A-T-E, money.
And sometimes he had trouble counting.
The farther we push this off, then you enter July, then you enter August, then you only have September, October, November, and December. Those are only 4 days.
Other times, Daley didn't get the proportions just right.
We had a huge presentation, very small.
And he didn't always get the grammar right.
I think people are much more smarter.
But Daley was smart. When he agreed with something, he'd tell you.
Yeah, why not?
But if he thought you were asking about something silly, he'd tell you that too.
It is silly. It is just silly. Silliness, that's all it is.
On the other hand, Daley loved the idea of a 2016 Chicago Olympics.
Our plan is financially conservative, reasonable, and feasible.
But he was really disappointed when Olympic politics beat him at his own game and quickly rejected Chicago in Copenhagen.
I was shocked. I was disappointed. I couldn't believe it.
Corruption, of course, was a big problem. 2004's hired drug scandal was a big one.
It's embarrassing, and that's why I'm making steps. I look at the issue. I'm not afraid to run away from it.
And that wasn't the first time corruption had him talking in reverse.
I think everyone's for corruption, both in the private and public section.
His father, though, took a different approach to fraud.
You don't prevent it in your business. In the radio, there's a lot of fraud goes on to that. Everyone is human. What the fellow said is about so much is honest and so much is dishonest. The balance and would get by with it if they could, thought they could. So you would prevent all of this. You do the best you can.
Nearly two dozen scandals swirled around the second Mayor Daley over the course of his 22 years as mayor, but he was never charged with any wrongdoing.
You think I'm that crazy as mayor of the city of Chicago to sit here and start making deals after 10 years being mayor?
And when the infamous John Birch police torture case was in the headlines, Daley denied ever condoning torture.
Do you think I would sit by that anyone say that their police brutality takes place, I know about it, that I had knowledge about it, and I would allow it? Then you don't know my public career. You don't know what I stand for.
His father wasn't afraid of being investigated.
Let me get the record straight. As long as I've been the leader of this organization, I've never asked any man or woman to do anything or to receive any pledge of any kind to do anything wrong in holding their public office. And everyone knows.
That's because he always claimed good government is good politics and good politics is good government.
If you don't do anything that's wrong, well, you shouldn't worry if 15 of them want to investigate you. And they've been... And they've been investigating me for 30 or 40 years.
And his son always denied he ever rewarded his pals with city contracts.
Everybody's my friend, you know. I think you're my friend once in a while, right? Then you deny it. Then I'll deny it. Then we're friends. When you need help, you become my friend, right? You come to me with your suggestions. And no, I mean, that's, I guess it's part of public life. And living in a great city like I know many, many people. I grew up in Bridgeport, and every person who grew up in Bridgeport since the beginning of time are my friends.
Mayor Daley liked most reporters most of the time, but if he didn't want to answer your question, he'd say this.
Gee, I don't know. I could find out.
And once, when he didn't want to answer a lawyer's question under oath, he simply said, I don't know what I knew. But if you asked a personal question about a misstep in the family, look out. Here he is in 2004 when a reporter asked him what kind of disability pay his paratrooper son Patrick would receive if he were wounded in combat.
You owe me an apology and him an apology. I think that is a terrible question. I think you just mind your own business now. That is a terrible question. You have no right to ask me that.
Daley would go up an octave when a reporter said something he thought was ridiculous.
What? Social promotions? No. You're out of your mind.
Testing.
And he did it again in 92 when asked about the discovery of some of his cronies in a proposed Galena riverboat deal.
No, I'm not involved in anybody with Galena. I'm the mayor of the city of Chicago. I don't know what your paper says. I'm not involved in anybody that invests out there. Are your paper involved in it? What do you mean, are you accusing me of having an interest?
No, sir.
Okay, you have a lot of nerve on that.
Daley's father usually didn't get so worked up with reporters.
I don't answer the twisted, you know, polluted imagination of journalistic enterprise.
His son just didn't think reporters should be placed on a high platform.
Never seen an accountant or a doctor terminated or a journalist terminated? Very few. Amazing, isn't it? So as we place them on a platitude much higher than us.
Got to watch out for putting us on a platitude. Now, the first Mayor Daley did get worked up with anyone he thought was a faker. Back in 71 in the city council, he blew his stack at Alderman Dick Simpson, a UIC professor. Simpson had just accused Daley of nepotism for appointing the son of floor leader Thomas Keene to the city's zoning board of appeals.
Where are we going with this kind of a society? And where are we going with these kind of educators that are doing these things to the young people of our country? Let's start telling the truth. That appointment was never made at the request of Alderman Keith, a low man who's supposed to be the highest of the vocation. A teacher, if you will, dedicated to tell the truth, implied that there were bad and vicious motives behind the appointment. That it's wrong, that he's going to tell his children. That's wrong. And students, what kind of truth is that? What kind of education? You can heckle all you want. And let's look at the record of the university. And what are they doing to the mind? Is this what's being told the students? That I made the appointment because his father was the head of the finance committee. I made the appointment because he's a fine young man and a decent Chicagoan. And to do otherwise would be to be a faker. And that's what we have too much in the educational community today. Hypocrites and fakers, afraid to tell and face the truth, afraid to let the young people go into the combat of election contests. No, they want to stand behind the great university cloak and tell how wrong our country is, how wrong our society is, when they know nothing about it and refuse to take any steps to correct it, and haven't got the guts to make the charge on this floor of what's wrong with this young man. That's what's being taught. And it's a sad day. A sad day when we hear words of this coming out of the university classroom. And he's not the only one. He's only typical of the large number that are in these universities polluting the mind.
That's as angry as the first Mayor Daley ever got out in the open as he paced back and forth on the mayor's rostrum in the city council. The unusual way the son got emotional was much different. It was uncomfortable to be in the room in 92 when Daley cried. His son had defied his parents and threw a secret party at the Grand Beach summer home. When some party crashers showed up, out came a baseball bat, and the injuries that followed got the son in hot water with the law.
I'm very disappointed. As a parent, would be if your son held a party in their home while his parents are away. I'm more deeply distressed for the welfare of the young man who was injured in the fight. My son and Maggie and I will talk with authorities today and fully cooperate with them.
That's as emotional as Daley ever got in public. Later, the son showed up in a city contract.
First, I did not know about his involvement in this company. As an adult, he made that decision. It was a lapse of judgment for him to get involved with this company. I wish he hadn't done it. I know the expectations for elected officials, their families are very high, rightfully so, especially for me, as I know on a daily basis. But also, I hope those people understand that Patrick is a very good son. I love him. Meg and I are very proud of him.
And, of course, Daley got emotional about his wife, Maggie, because she was courageously battling cancer.
My wife, Maggie, who, to me, is a commitment to all of us in the arts.
Daley never apologized for getting emotional in front of the cameras and microphones.
There's nothing wrong with emotion. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I don't know why you think people should not have emotion in public life. So maybe you don't have it in your industry, but people do have it. We do have emotion. We do. We're not all actors and actresses.
Actually, Daley's father used to say his mother had the best idea.
Too much has been said about how bad a shape we're in. And that's why mother said, God love her. If you're broke, don't let anyone know it. Get the best suit you get or a straw hat and put on the greatest front. And because, after all, everything in life is your presentation.
Now, Daley the son could be very sarcastic. Once I asked him if he thought the press exaggerated stories.
Oh, no. No. Never, never, never. They never exaggerated. No.
He loved to argue he was more virtuous than we reporters. When asked if he got paid to appear in a furniture store commercial, he said this.
No, I wasn't paid. Not like you.
You get paid every day to ask questions. They get paid to ask questions, so I don't get paid that. No, I wouldn't ask any money.
Daley said he thought the press exaggerated the effect of the great flood in the tunnels under the loop in 92.
There's no one injured and no one killed. Sometimes you wish people were injured or killed. That makes your business much happier.
But back in 95, when extreme heat killed literally hundreds of Chicagoans, it was hard to exaggerate that story. But at first, Daley tried to brush off all the questions about it.
It's hot. It's hot.
I know. It's very hot. Yesterday we broke all records. I hope we don't broke records. I mean, we all have our little problems, but let's not blow it out of proportion. It is a crisis. It's hot. It's hot out there. We all walk out there. It's very, very, very hot. It's like getting heavy snow. It's like getting real cold weather. Yes, we go to extremes in Chicago. And that's why people love Chicago. We go to extremes.
Daley thinks his legacy is the public schools, a lot more school buildings, and rising elementary student achievement scores. His father was always fighting for more school aid.
The kids in the large cities of America have been cheated too long out of what they're entitled to in the way of financial aid for education. And anyone says that we have enough money in keeping the needs of education for the youngsters of Chicago don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Back in 75, he went down to Springfield to ask a joint session of the legislature to override a governor's school aid veto.
You're talking about politics. I told you when I come down there, we're not talking about struggling to control of the party. I'm not struggling for anyone. I'm not a candidate for any office. I won and won six times. I'm down here to talk for the kids of Illinois, and I don't give a damn who likes it.
But let me ask all the administration you want out of it.
That was one of the few legislative fights Richard J. Daley ever lost. The Daleys could be philosophical.
Our whole skyline, it isn't artificial. It's like a child being born and going through, a woman going through pregnancy and then have a child and allow a child grow. Chicago's skyline just grew naturally. It wasn't artificial. It wasn't just stuck in there and put in there in a way that's artificial.
He probably got this philosophical bent from his father.
There's so much for nothing in this life if we appreciate it. And it's so good. And there's nothing as wholesome as a fish.
Richard I was also philosophical about all those charges of racial discrimination.
There's no discrimination here. I look around and I see all types of our society, all elements of our society. And that's the picture I'd like to have always in mind for Chicago. My mother and grandmother, God bless them, would make quilts, so did your mothers and grandmothers. And they take patches of every description and put them together. And then they made one quilt. That's our Chicago that I'm so proud of. We take all the we take all the elements. All society. There never is an aristocracy in our city. Because our people didn't come for an aristocracy.
Well, the Daleys tried to be practical, if not poetic. After 9/11, there was Daley's practical plan for evacuation of the loop in case of a terrorist attack.
Keep walking. I mean, you can't send them to the L. You can't put them underground. They keep walking down a street.
And don't ask if you think City Hall is safe.
This is a very safe building. But again, you know what you've done after 9/11, bang, bang. I mean, it's always anything that goes.
And speaking of walking, here's some Mayor Daley candor about government workers.
They're not customer related. They're going to leave at 5 o'clock and they're going to leave at 4:30 or 4 o'clock. I'm sorry. We're on the time clock. They walk out.
And then there were the unions that opposed him on bringing Walmart into the city. That put him in preacher mode out in the black community.
Not one person objected to any type of store in the suburban area. No one said, Mayor, you're wrong. No one said the aldermen are wrong. No one said the community wrong or church leaders. Only in the West Side. Only in the South Side. There's we can object to. At the same time, it was all right for the North and Southwest Side to get the big boxes before this. It was all right. No one said anything. But all of a sudden, we talk about economic development in the black community. There's something wrong there.
And the teachers' union really got to him.
I asked for 15 minutes, not for Mayor Daley, but for the students.
that would give to the students an extra 15 minutes. They unanimously voted over 7 delegates against me. Unless we're paid, we're not going to do it. That's the sad thing.
On the other hand, he didn't always get his marching orders to the teachers right.
And what we're saying today is that there are no excuses for children to learn.
And in a related vein, Daley was President George W. Bush's favorite mayor.
Then there is my most famous statement. Rarely is the question asked, is our children learning? Let us analyze that sentence for a moment. If you're a stickler, you probably think the singular verb is should have been the plural are. But if you read it closely, you'll see I'm using the intransitive plural subjunctive tense. So the word is are correct.
Mayor Daley's greatest hits will continue after a break.
Connected to Chicago, a look at the top stories of the week with the people making, covering, and talking about the news of the day. Podcasts are available online at WLSAM.com. Now, Bill Cameron.
Mayor Daley's greatest hits this week because Tuesday, Mayor Richard M. Daley is 76 years old. Well, when others complained that they didn't like some of their entrance exam test results, Daley was always quick to say that he didn't either because it took him 3 tries to pass the bar exam.
I flunked the exam, bar exam twice. I did not like the results. I personally did not like the results.
So what did you do? You studied harder, right?
I studied harder and I passed it the 3rd time.
And if government workers didn't like their jobs...
If they don't like the job, they can quit. Simple as that.
Mayor Daley had some strong opinions about other folks, too, like lawyers.
Well, one thing about lawyers, you throw a nickel out in the corner and you get 500 lawyers.
And he hated drug kingpins.
The true terrorists in America today are the drug kingpins.
And how about those political analysts?
They can do anything. They can analyze anything. You know that.
Then there was Mayor Daley on the business community.
I am very fortunate to have a corporate community to step on, whether it's step up on education reform or deals with airports or human relations or job.
Caught himself on that one, but he meant it when he summed up Rod Blagojevich this way.
Cuckoo.
And sometimes he lost his patience with the alderman.
A lot of people are against a lot of things when it comes to, they come and ask me, Mayor, I want this. Mayor, I want that on the side door. So when they see nothing happen in their community, don't blame Mayor Daley. I believe you always have to move forward. I hope you don't infer that I don't understand struggling people.
And he didn't like aldermen who pushed those feel-good ordinances. He didn't like, for example, that city council ban on foie gras. He called it the silliest ordinance ever passed.
Just think, you'll go down every ethnic food in the city and you say, outlawed, 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 outlawed. You can't eat this, you can't eat that. The city council will be sitting in your basically kitchen to determine whether or not what you should eat on a Sunday after church.
And he thought it was silly when one of his challengers said the office of mayor shouldn't be passed down to him like it was a family heirloom.
I don't know what he's talking about. Nothing's a heirloom.
But he got a kick out of some of the aldermen. Here he is back in 92 presiding over the city council, cackling at Alderman Bert Nateras.
I don't know of a more dangerous activity in the city of Chicago than these wheeling and dealing people with the helmets and the pads and the fancy short pants called bicycle messengers. I want you to know that you almost lost an alderman a few days ago. Madison.
Let's not vote on that.
And I want you to know that this guy was swift.
But the talking heads in Washington were another matter altogether.
Yeah, we have crossfire, backfire, front fire, whatever you want to call them. You look where there was radio and talk programs are unbelievable. You know, liberals, conservatives, you know, a former Democrat, Republican, they're on there and they get paid for it. And, you know, they make up their, you know, we yell at each other and, you know, it's they go out and have a drink. You know, it's a show. It's entertainment. And I think, unfortunately, Washington has been an entertainment capital for a long time.
Daley loved to mock liberal Democrats in the Senate for being afraid to make gun control an issue.
Where are they? Where is the U.S. Senate spending 24 hours in Iraq and they're demanding that the people of Iraq should not carry guns. But in America, you can carry guns. It doesn't matter who you are or what you are, you can carry a gun. There's no national debate by the Democrats or Republicans on gun violence or guns in America. We have to stay away from that because we want to protect all our candidates.
Daley also didn't like it when the state of Michigan asked the courts to close the Chicago locks to keep the Asian carp out of Lake Michigan. He thought the real crisis at the time was the big oil spill down in the Gulf of Mexico.
Oil is worse than carp. Oil basically destroys your drinking water. Drinking water destroys. Remember, that is worse. Oil is worse. You cannot drink the water. Go down to the Gulf and they'll find out what's happening to the oil spill.
And the mayor didn't like whiners.
We have become a country of whiners. Yeah, we are. My theory. We started whining about the Japanese. Japanese are going to take us over. You know, we thought we'd defeat them in Second World War. We built it. They're taking us over in 1970. What's going to happen to America? They're going to own our country. That's it. We're all out of jobs. Then we start whining about the Mexicans. We're losing all the manufacturing to Mexico. Look what's taking place. We cannot compete. We can't do this. We can't do this. Now we forgot about the Mexicans. Now we're whining about the Chinese and the Indians. We're a country of whiners. That's all we are. We should have enough confidence that we can compete with people if we all sacrifice a little bit for the common good. And if we do that, we can compete with any nation.
That attitude came directly from his father.
And I don't whine or cry about what happens to me in a campaign or happens to me any place. You take the things as they are.
Doesn't matter what.
And you don't turn out to be a crybaby or a whiner. You realize you have your ups and your downs in this business. And you don't care very much whether they're up or down. You just keep moving along.
Most of all, of course, Mayor Daley hated guns.
If we're worried about terrorists, spending billions of dollars worrying about terrorists, aren't we worried about 30,000 people get killed by firearms in America?
He couldn't stop talking about guns.
Welcome to America. Americans kill each other every day. We kill each other. Not in Afghanistan, not in Iraq. Good old America. We manufacture the guns and we kill ourselves.
And he whipped out his best sarcasm for the U.S. Supreme Court tossing out Chicago's handgun ban.
Well, the thing I can't understand is that I can't go to the Supreme Court with a gun. Why not? Why can't I go on the Supreme Court and sit there with a gun and listen to the arguments? If a gun is so important to us on the street or someone's home, why can't I go to the Supreme Court and sit there with a gun?
At one of his many gun control news conferences, one reporter he didn't like asked if he thought the handgun ban the Supreme Court tossed out had been effective. Daley held up a rifle with a bayonet on it and said this.
If I put this up your butt, you'll find out how effective it is.
Daley could be emphatic about other things, too.
He never, ever, 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 ever mentioned that to me. And I understand people are candidates. They will say a lot of things. I understand that. And I don't mind that. But never, ever, ever did he ever mention that.
And here he is in 99 on the effect of towing and impounding the cars of graffiti taggers.
Big.
How big?
Big, 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 big. No, it's. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, people love their cars.
Something else Daley liked was dibs, the practice of reserving a parking spot for yourself in a big snow if you dug out the spot.
Oh, yeah, that's Chicago style. I put a chair there, and I dug that out in front of my house. You better believe it. You better not park there.
And, of course, Daley loved public relations.
You know, you have to PR. You have to PR. You know, you have to have public relations. If you don't, then you're kidding yourself. Because if you don't do public relations, then who are you going to talk to? Yourself?
And he liked the death penalty.
And that frustrates me. I'm pro-death. I'm a death penalty proponent. I believe in it.
And, of course, Daley was pro-trees.
You talk about a tree person right here. I'm a tree hugger. I see him cutting down a tree. You know, I'm a little upset.
The 600,000-plus trees he planted in the city will probably be Daley's longest-lasting legacy, along, of course, with being the mayor, who couldn't speak straight. But he could laugh at himself about that. And there you have my annual running of Mayor Daley's greatest hits. Richard M. Daley, who is 76 on Tuesday. Time for the roundtable, where we just get to tell the truth. There's Ray Long of the Tribune sitting next to me.
Hey there, Bill.
Greg Hines over at Crain's. Hey, Greg.
Sir.
And over at City Hall, Fran Spielman, Chicago Sun-Times. Hi, Franny.
Hi.
Boy. Dorothy Brown's jumping back in, friend, to the race for mayor. Even though there's a federal cloud over her continuing, let's decode this one along with another interesting one on the state beat. But beginning with Dorothy Brown, Fran, what comes to mind? Decode that.
Well, it's a head-scratcher, even by our standards here in Chicago, and we have very low standards about what surprises us. But this one really is a head-scratcher. She's been under federal investigation for 4 or 5 years. Before that, there were many scandals in her office about Jean's Day and taking gifts from her employees and all that other stuff. The federal investigation has to do with alleged job selling and promotions, and then there's also land deals involving her husband, et cetera, and so on. It goes on and on. And then there's the cloud about how she has run the office and how archaic the filing system still is. And you can't even get a copy of a lawsuit easily. So all of this is going on. And in the middle of all of this, she's going to enter the race for mayor, which is getting more crowded by the minute. The question is, what is really motivating her? There's theories floating around. Greg and I have both written about, is it because she's trying to raise money for her legal defense? She has very little money, like $4,000 in her campaign fund. Perhaps she is trying to raise money for a legal defense that she would use if, in fact, they do bring charges against her. Maybe she's trying to influence a jury pool if there is an indictment at some point. Or perhaps even the conspiracy theorists are saying maybe she's trying to help Rahm Emanuel and draw African-American votes away from a Paul Vallis or a Lori Lightfoot. Or maybe it's just plain old hubris. And maybe she just feels that, you know, they've been after me all these years. They haven't come up with anything. So why not me? Because I have this dedicated church-based Southside following. Mm-hmm. And maybe in a very fractured race, she could come up with 20% like she did against Daley in 2007.
So, Ray, we should ask, who benefits by Circuit Court Clerk Dorothy Brown jumping into the race for mayor?
Well, I do think that Paul Vallis may not be benefiting. This may detract from some of the base that he thought he could get out of the African American community. So, from that standpoint, she could be pulling some of the votes that he had hoped to get. Rahm Emanuel, of course, has tried to rebuild his support in the black community after the Laquan McDonald disaster. And so he could also lose some of those votes who were kind of starting to lean back toward him after years of trying to get back on the good side of supporters from African-American community. It can be a real mess, and there can be a major split in the votes, as Fran alluded to, when you have this many candidates. So you've got others like Willie Wilson who are in the race, and he could be losing votes to Dorothy too. Not that he was going to take that many anyway.
Yeah, Greg, who benefits?
I think, I'll give you the answer I'm hearing from the mayor's people, and it's that the mayor benefits.
Of course.
The thinking is...
A surprise.
Yeah. The thinking is, but I think there may be some truth to this, the thinking is that in a runoff, and there's going to be a runoff one way or another, he probably beats anybody because he's able to, you know, he has enough feet in enough different camp. He can kind of isolate somebody who emerges out of a crowded field and have the money to do it. But in a big field, nobody really gains any traction. I mean, you know, nobody probably comes close to him if you have 8 or 9 or 10 people. I mean, each different voting group is being split up. So I think that potentially, you know, if Would there be a way for a single strong candidate to beat Rahm Emanuel? Absolutely. There's too many people who don't like him. But instead of having one strong candidate, you have a bunch of midgets running around, none of whom has any real financing. They all go after each other, and it becomes chaos. And guess what? He looks like the giant in the Land of Pygmies.
Well, if you carry that out, and it's possible, there can be so much noise out there that nobody gets enough votes to prevent him from getting 50% because he would draw the headlines. Now, I still think that there is a likely scenario that this goes into a runoff. But if nobody out there gets traction and everybody's screaming for some piece of the pie in the news cycles, then it could go Rahm's way.
Yeah, I kind of think
don't think there is any chance at all that a runoff is avoided. There will be a runoff. Mm-hmm. This time, Rahm won't be surprised by it. He's prepared for two rounds.
Okay.
But absolutely, there's no question in my mind that this goes to a runoff. The question is, does Rahm finish first or second, or does he possibly, is it even within the realm that he could finish third?
I think it is possible. I mean, who is Rahm's base?
His base is the downtown business community, the people who work there, his old congressional district, much of the north side, and people who think that he's made some of the tough decisions to bring financial stability back to the city, the people who like the jobs that are coming from downtown, the expansion over here that's now seems to be back on track. He's not warm and fuzzy, but if you take a cold, hard analysis on the real tough things, is this guy made progress, you can put together an argument that he has, and that's his base.
I think also that you're going to see some of what's left of the remnants of the machine turn out votes for him, too. I think you're going to see Mike Madigan supporting Rahm Emanuel for re-election. But he may not say that or may not make an endorsement, but I think when it comes down to the palm cards, Rahm's name will be on it.
And I think when you dust the Dorothy Brown candidacy for fingerprints, you find Rahm Emanuel's fingerprints. Mm. Go ahead, Franny.
Yeah, that is one of the theories out there.
I do think also that if Lori Lightfoot, who I think is a big threat to Emanuel because she can take him on the issue of police reform, she is extremely articulate and very, very smart and gutsy. If she could light a fire in the black community and then maybe put the black alderman on the spot to choose sides, that could be very interesting. They would really, be on the spot to who are they going to stand with?
Mm-hmm.
If Rahm is not popular in the black community, which he is not in many areas of the black community because of the fallout of the Laquan McDonald thing, if he is not and she forces the alderman to take a stand, where are they going to run for cover?
Okay, let's move to the state beat. Ray, who is Sam McCann?
Sam McCann's a downstate senator. He represents part of Springfield. He also represents Jacksonville. And I mention those two areas because he is a very conservative Republican, but he also has a constituency that has a lot of state workers in it. So he has voted conservatively on a lot of ideological matters, but when it has come to issues that involve AFSCME, he's been with them on it. So therefore, he has been a person who has drawn the ear of the Rauner administration, the ire, if you want to make it absolutely clear, depending on how you pronounce that word. But he has been up against Rauner many times. Rauner even tried to take him out because he wasn't on Rauner's team on all the votes. He voted with the Labor because of his big AFSCME constituency. And so now he's the guy who says, I'm going to run on a conservative party and run against Rauner. Mm-hmm. And what's that going to do, Bill? I think that will bleed off some more of Rauner's dwindling support.
Yeah, Greg, I think Jeannie Ives supporters will go for McCann, won't they?
Well, conventional wisdom is that this guy's running is not good news for Bruce Rauner, that it further splits a Republican base that is further split. There is probably some truth to that, but, we're living in the era of President Hillary Clinton. I'd be real careful about about drawing too many conclusions here at this point in the game, Bill. A lot of those Genie Ives people might not have voted at all this fall, so to the extent that they come out and vote for him, it doesn't hurt Ron or any because they were going to stay home. And I think there's an argument to be made here that, hey, this election, like all elections of this type, is essentially a referendum on the incumbent. Okay, so you got the incumbent, and then you got the main opponent against him, Mr. Pritzker. Well, if you have a third candidate in, you give people who don't like Bruce Rauner another option besides voting for JB. So maybe it splits the anti-incumbent vote. You know, if Pritzker was out there telling a really positive message and presenting this big vision about what he wants to do for the state, that might not be much of a threat, but he's not. He's essentially running as the anti-Rauner, and therefore having another anti-Rauner out there who also attacks JB, and I'm not convinced that this necessarily is a big shot to Rauner.
That is interesting. Franny, you think JB could lose this thing?
No, I don't. I think the election is pretty well over. I mean, of course, you can't say that because we're so far out and all kinds of things could happen. But I think as clear as you could possibly be at this early stage, I think it's pretty clear that Rauner is his days are numbered. Is this McCann even going to get on the ballot? That's another question. I mean, is he going to clear that hurdle, the signature requirement? Is that in question?
Yes, you never know with all those lawyers out there.
Yeah.
Now, Ray, this is interesting that we probably all assume that it's JB's to lose, but they're going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars in the effort. What does that tell you?
Well, Rauner, of course, is going to be pounding the Madigan tie, or just because they're both Democrats, if nothing else, but Madigan and JB, Madigan and JB, tax appeals, et cetera. And most importantly, they're going to be saying that JB is going to raise your taxes, and that will be Rauner's Rauner's way to beat down JB repeatedly, and he'll spend tens of millions of dollars on that kind of message.
That's Ray Long of the Tribune. Thanks to him. Thanks to Greg Hines of Cranes and Fran Spielman of the Sun-Times. Thanks, everybody. And coming up next, John Dempsey.
Connected to Chicago. Podcasts are available online at WLSAM.com.
I'm John Dempsey. Mayor Emanuel gearing up for his reelection by highlighting plans for even more recreational opportunities along the Chicago River. This week, Rahm talked about his plan to have Chicago be what he called a two-waterfront city, bragging about what he said was 5.5 miles of new riverfront access since he became mayor and pledging even more.
In just a few weeks, we'll be rolling out new plans on the river east of State Street. It'll be named Riverwalk East so that the entire Riverwalk from the lake to the point will be one enjoyable experience. We're looking at building a new trail from Ping Tom Park to the west end of the Riverwalk at Lake Street. The plan builds on the concepts from the Ridge River Edge Ideas Lab last fall. And farther south, on the Little Calumet River, we're creating a new 14-acre park at Middle Woods, building trails to connect residents to the river at Hegwich Marsh. New buildings are springing up along the banks of the river with more public access to the river. From barely nothing, all told, we're creating more than 11 new miles of accessible riverfront space.
Rahm appeared at a Southside news conference highlighting his efforts to improve the Chicago Park District system. The news conference held at the XS Tennis and Education Foundation in the Washington Park neighborhood, founded by tennis coach Kamau Murray, who talked about how he learned tennis on Chicago Park District courts.
But I'm a kid who grew up in the park. I hit my first tennis ball at Jesse Owens Park and then moved to Bronzeville and then started up helping kids after school, giving low-rate tennis lessons to young kids, to keep myself out of trouble. And my mother said, people did things for you, it's your turn to do things for them. So, you know, this is sort of my gift to this neighborhood. My dad went to Deuce Arbor High School down the street. My mom was assistant principal at Hyatt Park for 26 years. And so this place sort of honors them and honors everybody else who helped make this project possible.
Chicago Park District CEO Mike Kelly appearing with Mayor Emanuel to highlight what he says is the importance of a good park system in a city like Chicago.
We all know parks improve our quality of life. Ask anyone from Chicago, what's your park? And they will have an answer, and usually a smile. Whether it was a childhood memory of a Little League baseball game, a recent jog down the lakefront trail, or watching your children play in one of our playgrounds. Everyone loves their parks in Chicago.
Kelly and Emanuel are also promising that this November will finally bring the completion of the Navy Pier flyover, a bridge that will allow cyclists to avoid the busy intersections of Illinois Street and Grand Avenue in the Streeterville neighborhood. For Connected to Chicago, I'm John Dempsey.
That's our show for this week. Thanks to Matt Mellon for production assistance. I'm Bill Cameron, WLS News.
Connected to Chicago, a look at the top stories of the week with the people making, covering, and talking about the news of the day. Podcasts are available online at WLSAM.com.